Let's go live to Lviv and Joseph Lindsley, the editor of Ukrainian Freedom News. Joseph, all weekend I was thinking, I can't wait to talk to you on Monday morning to find out what the inside word there in Ukraine is about what has happened.
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. I was just talking with a friend about this who's in the military, and I think he summed it up pretty well. He said, whatever these events of Saturday, when the Wagner group, led by Prigozhin, one of Putin's key allies, seemed to be within 2 hours of taking Moscow, and then the whole thing ended, and the leader of the Wagner group fled or was sent or something happened, and he went to Belarus. And my friend, a Ukrainian soldier, said it was a circus, but it was simply a guilty pleasure to enjoy. And that was the mood that I think of so many people throughout Ukraine. We have a great New York Post reporter here right now, and she wrote a great story, but the headline in the Post was that the mood was a mood of exhilaration in Ukraine, and that's not true. I think people, everyone is focused on their work they have to do, on the fight, which is very difficult, but there was a good deal of amusement at this seeming chaos in Russia. A lot of funny memes were exchanged. The emblem of Russia is a two-headed bird, and so it was very popular cartoon. And so I think people took a moment to get at least a good laugh out of it. But the fact is, we don't really know what this whole circus was. We know it was a circus. We don't know if some of it might have been a false flag operation. Vladimir Putin came to power. He was prime minister under Boris Yeltsin in 1999, and there were mysterious bombings in Russia that he used as a pretext to take more power and also to make himself look like a hero to the Russian people. And not long after those bombings, Yeltsin named Putin president. Yeltsin resigned and Putin became president. Many people think that he staged those bombings. And so there's a lot of the main take here is to be skeptical of whatever's happening in Russia. And I think, and to look at, for example, it's pretty common among the Western commentators in the UK and the US to be, some people are concerned about this. They said, maybe Putin will be replaced with someone worse. And whenever I saw those stories over the weekend, anyone who says that is not really taking seriously just how bad Putin has been. I mean, we already have cities like Bakhmut and Mariupol totally destroyed, the children that have been kidnapped, the women raped. There's been so many atrocities. It's not a question of will be worse than Putin. Is there any way to get someone better? And so, looking at that situation, we don't know. What was it, an attempt for? Is Prigozhin still loyal to Putin, and was he trying to help Putin find out who would be a traitor? There's so many different permutations and possibilities, and that's why the attitude here in Ukraine was simply to look at it as a circus and to have a good laugh about it while continuing the necessary work toward victory.
Are the details about Prigozhin's retreat, that deal, still hazy? And where is he? And how in the world could Putin allow him to live after this?
Yeah, see, these things, Bob, there's so much that does not make sense. And, as always, I'd never trust a single piece of information coming out of Russia. They don't have free press. Everything is controlled. So we really can't, they say that Prigozhin was in Belarus. We don't know if we can trust that. Prigozhin, he started out as he's called Putin's chef because he was his catering company. Putin trusted enough to serve Putin without poisoning him. And so there was many years of great trust. Some called him Putin's Rasputin. In a way, but we really don't know. I mean, I guess even, let's say this: even if this was some kind of ruse, even then, it's fair to the Russia of February 24th, 2022, that said that they could take Kyiv in 3 days. Whatever's happening in Russia right now is a sign of weakness. Now, this doesn't mean that Russia is not a serious threat, and as we've been, I think everyone here realizes, the more Ukraine has a chance of succeeding, the more Russia is going to have to do crazier and crazier things. Perhaps this is part of that. And then another thing to keep in mind is, for example, I have a friend, Taras Bick, who's been working for 16 months on the project of breaking up the Russian Federation. This is like the long-term dream that, you know, the, when there's victory for Ukraine, in order for there to be peace in Europe and the world, Russia has to be broken up into multiple republics. And whenever my friend, you know, he travels around to different conferences around the world, meets with Russian dissidents, and they've been working very steadily on this. But whenever he mentions this to others, when I talk about this project, this dream that maybe Russia could be broken up, Western commentators and political experts and people in the Pentagon, they laugh at this idea, or they were laughing at this idea until Saturday. And so Saturday, no matter what it was, it does show that there is a fundamental weakness in the Russian system, and whether or not that can be exploited is a major question. In 2014, when the Ukrainians had their revolution and they kicked out the pro-Russian regime, it was completely different from what we saw on Saturday in Russia. And it was the people took over all the public institutions, and for several weeks there were no police in Ukraine. Everything was disbanded, but there was hardly any crime because it was a revolution of the people, and they managed themselves and they controlled themselves. Really, it was something extraordinary. What we're seeing in Russia, if it is some kind of instability, is the chieftains fighting each other while the people, as always, are spectators.
You saw a video and heard people cheering Prigozhin, and you brought up this question, would he be worse than Putin? And I mean, Prigozhin, he's like a career criminal. He was in prison like something like 10 years. He's ruthless. I'm still confused about what his take on the war was, because he certainly criticized Putin. But wasn't he in favor of escalating the war in Ukraine? Or was he someone who thought they should just pull back completely?
Well, you know, Prigozhin's forces, this private military company, the Wagner Group, which, by the way, also has been meddling in Sudan for many years, there's a civil war there now. Their main project was to take Bakhmut, and they absolutely destroyed and leveled that city. Everyone here in Ukraine knows someone who's lost life or limb at the hands of Prigozhin's Wagner mercenary private military company. So he's done some of the dirtiest work for Putin. Whatever Putin wanted, Prigozhin was willing to do the worst. And what was interesting is that on Friday, whenever this circus began, Prigozhin challenged Putin's justification for the war. He says the whole justification was a lie. They were not going to demilitarize or denazify Ukraine. And it's very interesting. That's the first time there has been a major Russian voice saying that to the Russian people. Mm. So that's what signaled to everyone that maybe there is something real here, but why was Prigozhin able to live? Is he still alive? We don't know, and that's why Ukrainians are cautious. Remembering October 8th, 2022, when the Kerch Bridge, the Russian-built bridge from mainland Russia to occupied Crimea, there was an explosion, and everyone here was celebrating. We still don't know who caused that explosion. And 2 days later, you had Russia's the largest, most well-coordinated attack on Ukraine since the beginning of the war. And so there's a sense of, we can smile at sort of the craziness in Russia, but to keep working here. And, when I was reading some of the stories about the Titan, the submarine that sank on its mission to look at the Titanic, there was one of the tributes to one of the British billionaires on the sub and to the French explorer. And someone wrote a tribute in praise of them that they were pushing dragons off maps. And pushing dragons off maps, that's the idea of the explorers in the old days. The maps would have dragons in the unknown places. And the brave people are the ones that go toward the impossible and show us that we don't have to be afraid. And that's exactly what Ukrainians have done, with their foreign allies since February 24th, 2022, to push the dragon off the map. That Russia is something that has to be feared, and maybe these events on Saturday will show most people that this is a moment to keep supplying Ukraine and to strike to put an end to all, not only for the Russian people and that craziness there, but to put an end to the daily death and destruction that's happening here in Ukraine. And even as I say this, I have friends who are soldiers recovering or trying to recover with horrible wounds, people who are dying every day in that counteroffensive. And so that's the focus here, is to keep pushing and hope for miracles and hope for meltdowns in the Kremlin.
Well, a lot of what happened over the weekend gave a lot of folks hope. So let's hope that continues. Until tomorrow, thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.